Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. If you'll all rise with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
He's here.
Kevin?
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll open with public comment. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium at the front of the room. There's going to be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. I just want to remind you that if you guys have any comments or anything, please allow me to move that forward. Any public comments, please? Welcome.
My face to you guys.
You can talk to me.
Sorry, this is actually my first public appearance like that. I moved to Discovery Bay a while ago, four months ago, and I'm a professional piano teacher, highly educated, from my former country is Russia. But I live in the United States already more than 24 years. I relocated from East Coast, from state of Connecticut. I worked there all the 24 years in music schools, and I was teaching children to play piano, classical school. Plus, following their wishes, they played also popular and any other kinds of music. And since I'm here already, I actually tried to understand why I cannot find any moment to see after school curriculum that is giving individual piano lessons. I was visiting several schools, but everything what I got used to in Connecticut, I didn't find here. And this way, I came to the community center, and I met Mr. Pease then, and I tried to explain what I would like to do in this community, because I think the more music around, the better is for children, for adults. And I have a great experience in teaching, and also different ages. My oldest student in Connecticut, he was 84. And he was with me the last 13 years, and he came to very impressive heights in playing piano, and to introduce himself to piano, and he started to introduce his family through me also to this. So, actually, my big question, if I can to find some place for myself in this community, what can I do? In the community center, there is no equipment for that. So my suggestion, maybe it's right or wrong, maybe to rent a piano, to rent. They have great places for recitals, for annual recitals. And it would be very interesting. This is what I can promise. So actually, this is what I wanted to say. And I would like to know what place for me can I find in this community. So thank you very much for your attention. This is all what I wanted to say. So my credentials in my flyer, it's there. Plus, I have also my resume, not with me now, but anybody who will be interested in me, I will be very grateful to bring everything what I know and what I achieved with my experience to this community. So thank you very much for the attention.
What was your name again?
My name is Barbara. My last name is Sukhodrev. Yes, and everything else, if something interesting about me, I am ready to answer. Yes. Thank you very much.
Did I understand that you have visited some of the elementary and schools here?
Yes.
In the Byron-Brentwood area?
Yes, I did. I was in God's Children's School. Mm-hmm. I was in the elementary, and I was just asking.
Right.
I not tried to impose everything, anything, you know, just asking, and I find out that actually I cannot do here what I did all the 20 years in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yes, and this why I asked them, yeah. How can I achieve, how can I approach somebody to speak about it, what's the future could be for
have
me.
Have you taken out a small...
Like a community member.
Correct. Have you put a little ad on the bulletin board, maybe over by the Dash store and things, offering your services?
Yes, I tried. I actually already started private piano right. lessons, because people already saw my credentials yes, and I started to get already calls.
Okay.
But this is my personal. I would like to do this for the community.
Right. Okay.
Yes. And if this is possible, if this can be taken to consideration to supply an equipment for community center, right. This would be great.
Okay.
And it would be very interesting for the parents and for the children too. This I can promise on my part.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? All right. At this time, we will close public comment and we'll move on to item C, business and action items. And I'll turn it over to Rick, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The first item is really just being brought to you as a refresher item. It's been a couple of years since you've seen the Greenplay report, and I want to make sure that that Director Leet had seen that since he was not on the board at the time. And I'm not sure, Bill, if you were. I think you came on board as we were doing it, and so
yeah, I wasn't involved in letting the contract, but I did review them.
Right. So I wanted just to give it to the board, provide it to the board and community again, just as a refresher of what we did back in 2013. And when you go through the report, I'm not going to get into any of the details unless you would like to get into some of them. But when you go through the report, a lot of their recommendations, we've been following them. I know Farron has a copy of it and uses it, and we've comply with many of their recommendations, some of them not, just haven't been appropriate, haven't worked out. But in the most part, I think that we've done a pretty good job of at least trying to follow the basic tenets of those recommendations. We paid a lot of money for it, and they were very good and helpful. So I just wanted to provide that to the board for your information. If you have any questions, we'd be more than happy to answer them.
Do you have any comment or want me to give you some background?
Well, I was just wondering on page one.
Yeah, do we have this on the, can we get this on the projector? I mean, this is something that the rest of the group should be looking at, right? I'm gonna make a motion that we adopt this this plan tonight, and I'd like to have everybody's comments on
sure.
it.
Sure, already been adopted.
Well, no, we haven't adopted it.
Back to page one.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have it in an electronic format for the board, for the electronic board.
Go ahead, Director Peace, please, or Vice President.
Yeah, what I wanted to ask is on page the bottom of page one, beginning of page two, it has some a little synopsis of what our abilities were, what the community was doing. As an example, there are approximately 7 or 10 members in an exercise class, et cetera, et cetera. Wondering how. Now that we've been through it about a year or so, the projections that we have in the report on those first two pages compared to today, kind of how's reality? Are we kind of exceeded that, or has been a...
The bottom of page one and the top of page two reference the athletic club component. Mm-hmm. Those were the classes that were taking place when the athletic club was in place and when we first took over operations.
Right.
Remember, we ran it from basically February through June 30, and then we shut the athletic club component down. This section refers to that.
Right, but there were...
And so we terminated, we didn't offer those types of classes, those different types of exercise classes.
Well, I didn't specifically meant that. I meant kind of all of it as a whole, roughly 5 to 10 party rentals each year, plus a dolphin swim team, those kind of things. So I guess this is the beginning of what we were starting with, so I'm just trying to get a feel for, kind of based on what we were told, where are we today?
Yeah.
Unless that's... You got something like...
Yeah, no. There is going to be a program update. Dan's going to come up and talk about some of those classes and programs that we've been having in the last three sessions. However, specifically to what we're looking at here, it was membership-based, so we were able... it was more of an hourly rate that we paid, and it was open to members to come in and take those classes, so we had a lot more participation. Our current set of exercise-based classes are few. The Zumba class continues to do the best. We've maxed that out before for the occupancy of the room we have. There's a class that has as few as three members who come and take it regularly. So it ranges.
All right, thank you.
And with respect to rentals, I think you're well aware that it's rented pretty much most weekends, all summer long, even spring through the fall.
Yeah, and if you're going to have this kind of update, a little later report, that's fine.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else want to have any questions or comment? I'll give a little background.
I'd like to hear the report.
All right. I just want to go, I was on the community center committee before we bought the property and then part of the acquisition team. And I think that was really important was the concept that the town was working on was the hub and spoke model. We're not restricted just to this site. You know, we've got a lot of, we have other parks and other amenities in the town that that the board at the time was trying to integrate into a recreation type of a facility. And so when we're in this meeting tonight, I just want you guys to think that we're not just limited to the site. We've got a lot of great capabilities, and there's areas in the town that we have not even integrated into our programming. So let's keep that open about the hub and spoke. And I think another important piece of this recommendation here was there were some hours and there were some recommendations in here. And I'd like to, after this meeting or on another date, go back and I think these recommendations are valid, and I think we need to go back as a board and consider adopting those at a later date. I think that tonight we can review some of these recommendations, but I recommend that we go back in a near term and adopt these recommendations moving forward for the community center. Anyway, I'll turn back over to staff.
Most of the recommendations that they had in there that we've been following had to do with the different types of classes that you're going to offer. Putting it out there in a centralized recreation brochure, which we've done, providing social media. We've got our Facebook page. We've got well over 1,000 likes, and whenever we have anything new and anything new to update, there's always an update that goes out, so there's at least 1,000 people and their friends see that. We have... You got to remember, we opened in January of 2014, and we knew that there were going to be challenges ahead. We knew that some classes were going to work. We weren't sure which ones were going to be the best classes, which ones were going to be the ones that were going to be the most successful. And as Green Play Even states on page 4 of their document, many successful facilities grow into their programming and make sure that we set up long-term and long-lasting programming partnerships along the way. And we've done a lot of that with some of our instructors, and we continue to do that as we develop our recreation program as we move forward. Again, I wasn't planning on getting into the document in terms of each and every one of their comments because it's a 40-page document. And we've had a special meeting just on this subject previously, but I did want to bring it at least for the board, so the more as a refresher than anything else.
Chris, I'd just like to recommend and then also let you know that I'd be happy to meet with the Recreation Subcommittee, get down involved, go through this document in more detail, identify the components of it, which we are currently following, ones that we have goals for, and kind of pull that all together to compile a standard of operations for the recreation side, something that we can adopt a future plan. I think that this is a lot of recommendations, and while we've been finding following most of them, there's some tweaking that can be done to this document to turn it into something.
All right, I appreciate that. That'll be great. I was zeroing in on like the hours of operations and
sure.
the staffing models, and I think that like pool hours are one of the pieces, and I was wanting to figure out when we get to the aquatics portion how those hours that they recommend versus what we're doing is lining up with that for access to the public. Any update on the tennis? Or is anybody here from the tennis group?
That's further on down the agenda.
I thought we were going through this. Okay. We're not going to go through this?
Go through what?
The green play.
Well, like indicated, I wasn't planning on going through the entire document page by page, because we've done that.
We
board's done
that
previously.
Okay. You're killing me. All right. All right, we'll go back to the subcommittee and we'll make a recommendation.
That would probably be the best
meeting.
Thing
okay.
to do at that
All right.
point.
All right, thank you. All right, next item then, Rick.
Next item would be the ongoing programming update, and that's going to be what Dan's going to give you. If you recall, prior to the end of the last calendar year, I believe it was in November, Farron gave an update as to where we were and how the programming had gone over the course of the summer. So we're going to go ahead and give you an update with the latest and greatest numbers in terms of classes and programming and how those have worked out.
Good evening. So what you have in front of you is kind of a summary of winter spring 13-14 summer session and then the fall session. Looking at some of this document, you can see our most popular classes throughout over the three sessions where Zumba is up top there. Our Kids Love Soccer program has hit in every three, and many of our art classes, with the River Otters as being our number one probably revenue generator throughout all of them. You can see we have about a 30% rate of our classes that being offered that actually run. And it's steady throughout each of the sessions. Fall has been our lowest, but we did have some good turnouts in the classes that we did offer. If you look to page 2, you can kind of see more of a breakdown, and there's a little map of where everybody, kind of registration map for everyone and who did register for the classes, where it goes throughout the town. You can see where a lot of the registration is right here around the community center. A little bit over by Lakeshore or Ravenswood and so on. We got for the summer and then for the fall. Then if you look on the back page, it's kind of a rental summary, how our rentals broke down throughout winter, spring, 13-14, summer, and the fall. Summer was pretty good with our rentals, with Cornell Park getting a lot of the rentals and then the barbecue area at the community center as well. I would say that the majority of the rentals at the barbecue area were for kids' birthday parties, and so they were using the pool as well. Any questions with any of
them? Go ahead. Are we looking at offering some different programs to look at the cancellation rate?
If you see at the bottom, you know, I got a list of the fall classes not offered in the winter spring, so I am going through and I'm averaging about 10 new classes per session. It really goes on trying to find that right instructor to get in. Some of the instructors like to keep going for at least a year to kind of try and build it, and they're understanding, knowing that we're a new recreation program here and it is going to take time to get the people to come and buy in.
We got maybe a better way of marketing this?
I recently went to the school district, so I've been doing a lot of giving them a lot of my documentations, and they're blasting it out to everyone in their database. So I have seen a hit increase for that way, getting the registrations. We're getting Facebook.
How about Brentwood Press or?
We have run a couple articles. You know, they are pretty good at running an article every session about new programs coming up.
On your registration fees, as an example, winter, spring 13, 14, summer, et cetera, are those gross fees or are those net?
Gross.
Okay. Do we have an expenses area in the today's report at all? Thank you.
I'm sorry, Director Lee. Yes, I'm sorry. We did give that during our quarterly report when we do the landscaping, so we will go over expenses and revenue at that time. It's more just a programming update today.
Okay. It would be nice to have some musical programming in there.
And that is one thing I've worked with Barbara, and I've worked with trying to get some people to come in and do it. I've talked with some of the music studios in Brentwood and whatnot. None of them have really bitten into coming in here. I'm looking right now, hopefully trying to develop some of the staff that I currently have and using some of their skill sets to offer some more in-house programs.
Again, we don't have to be inside that facility. There's a piano and there's equipment at the Discovery Elementary School at Timber Point and a few other local schools. And if we can integrate our programming with using the other facilities, maybe a good idea.
And I have been in contact with the superintendent about, you know, shared space and things like that. So it's on my radar, and I'm working towards it.
Right. Thanks.
Is there any programs in here on, for lack of a better term, agricultural program? I know we put in the community grow boxes.
The garden.
Garden area. Is there a way to kind of think through that as a possibility or not?
We started working with the garden, and it just really wasn't getting the feedback that we really, I think, initially hoped for.
Right.
So it's, again, finding somebody that can come in and, you know, run these programs.
Right.
Unless we have someone in house that can do it.
Yeah, I was thinking of a garden club or something. If, you know, they were instrumental in the Blue Star Memorial area that was established. I don't know if those folks, maybe we present it to them, let them run with it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we had reached out to them before on the same, the long-term maintenance project was not ideal at that time, but we can definitely reach out to them again.
Yeah, just because it didn't work our first go out.
Now we're getting into that season too,
yeah.
So it would be nice
right.
to, I mean, that is definitely an underdeveloped area that I would like to see kind of flourish as well.
Any programming related to water sports outside of the, I mean, using the marina or, you know, do a wakeboard clinic coming up or anything like that?
I haven't had anyone approach me about offering anything like that, and I haven't had any requests about it.
Okay.
So it really hasn't been on, you know, my agenda to do. Ultimately, that is a goal that I have. I would like to offer those kind of programs since we are a water sports community out here.
Yeah.
It's finding the right location and then the right people that can, you know, offer a quality program that we're going to put our name on.
Yeah, you know, like the paddling that's popular, or the kayaking and things like that. That might be something to consider adding at some point to our program. And I know there's vendors in there that sell the equipment, and something based out of the marina would be great. I'm going to open it up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was looking at gravel and some of the recreation brochures, the new ones that came out just before Christmas. And we provided the board with them probably back in November, right as they were coming out. And some of the classes that are in there, there are some new classes. There's some excursions in there. There's some senior opportunities to take buses to different types of events. There's opportunities for kids to go tween teenager age kids to go to on a ski trip, a day long ski trip. I think there's one to Raging Waters.
I did a, there's two casino trips, there's a ski trip, and then there's one to the Winchester Mystery House.
So we're reaching out and trying to get a different part of the community that might not be interested in taking a class, but they might be interested in doing these types of things too. And so it's something that we've been working on. A couple of years ago, I did submit a grant application in which we did not get it, unfortunately. It was directly related to what President Steele was just referring to, which would be the opportunity to offer and to have as part of our program classes for wakeboard, for paddleboarding, kayaking, that sort of thing, and we were denied. And just the costs in order to acquire that equipment and get the location, I did talk to the Hoffman Company at the time. So that hasn't gone unacknowledged. It's just not part of the current plan at this point in time. We would certainly love it to be. But,
another suggestion for, it would be nice to have some sort of a summer camp component, whether it's a 1 week or a 2 week program for the youth. And I don't know how we can engage with the school district or with UC Berkeley, maybe, but there could be some sort of science camp going on, and I think that our summer program needs to be pretty buff for the longer hours available.
Last summer, we did offer extensive summer camps. We had multiple ones that ranged from video game design to sports, different types of sports related and art camps and things like that. This last fall, I was offering some camps that were more during the fall break, and I'm offering one right now during spring break as well. So we're definitely trying to get it out there.
Are we partnering with the Brentwood programs at all? We know we had talked about that in the past.
That is one thing that I have reached out to them. We're working on developing that relationship and seeing how it's going to work together to work together.
Go ahead.
I think that, you know, we've tried to work cooperatively with Brentwood. One of the challenges I think that we're facing right now is that we're in direct competition with them. Originally, when we initiated these discussions and came and said we were starting a program, they were not going to be mailing their recreation guide to our residents, but they still continue to. They're still have participation from Discovery Bay residents in Brentwood programs, and that really, I think, has an impact on our registrations locally. Especially when some of those instructors go to both locations, we share instructors. So that's something that I think we're going to start looking at in upper management levels, like our general manager had making some calls. So,
how's the registration process of the majority of our programming? Is it done online, or do you find a lot of staff time involved with registration?
I would say currently, right now, it's 90% done online. Occasionally we get, you know, the drop-ins for each class, or someone coming in just registering for one class here and there, but the majority is definitely online.
That's great. Any other discussion?
Yeah, the only other plan, a lot of the questions that President Steele just asked were answered with, we're working on them right now, we're reaching out right now, which is fine. But I'd like to know when we're going to know how the reaching out went. Mm-hmm. What I'd want to see is get into, we're reaching out, never hearing anything about it.
I'll give you an example of that. I met on Monday, and I haven't even told Farron or Dan this, with All God's Children Church, the school. And one of the representatives of the church, and I was discussing with her with respect to the school, that we need to be partnering with you and some of your after-school programs as relates to the community center, and it's something that had been discussed, and so we're working on now putting that together, and hopefully something will come out of that.
Can you bring this to the board so we have an update and know what's going on? Thank
you. I wanted to open it back up to a public comment. If there's any programming that you see you'd like to have added, I'd like you to bring it to the board at this time, and so we can be aware of those things that we might want to consider in the future for you. Any public comment? All right. we'll keep moving along here. Staff, please. So I guess, so back to item A. So I guess the subcommittee is going to go back and review the Green Play programming with staff, and we're going to look at areas that we can implement now or have a plan to implement, and we'll bring that back to the board here shortly. So we'll make a goal of that to meet in the next month and do that. Thank you.
I'm going to, Farron's going to take this next item.
Item number two, volunteer policy and adoption.
This is before you again tonight. It came back. It was originally before the board on September. It was requested at that time to table it in order to provide some time to review and discuss with the community center subcommittee. We have had that meeting. It was identified and described that this policy is mainly just the framework on how to staff would guide and develop and work with volunteers as they came in. It is noted that we will continue to need to develop an actual program plan on how, in which ways and where we want to use volunteers, and that is separate from the policy. The reason the policy is important is because we do get volunteers now, people who need to work community service hours, high school students, that's a requirement now for graduation, and we do take them, but there's not an official policy for us to follow.
How many people are waiting on that list right now to volunteer?
For
volunteers, how many volunteers are on the list?
I believe that just for people who came in wanting to work for the community center, there's only three or four. For our dog park, there's around 15.
Cool, thanks. Any public comment? Go ahead.
On the committee had met, have you changed or modified what the staff recommendation was from when it was brought to us to this?
I believe we did. I think we just went over it item by item just to make sure that everybody understood what the intent was.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It was unanimous. Thank you for that, Karen. All right, let's see. Item three, River Otter Swim Team Annual Operating Program Recommendations.
Again, Karen is going to address that. And I believe we have some swim team representatives in the room this evening. Probably three quarters of you.
All right, thank you for your time again. There was a budget, I'm not sure, did you guys receive that already passed out? This is a draft budget for the operations for the River Otters for the 2015 season. I'm gonna start with just kind of doing an overview of this and then getting into some of the details of what this means. We are looking for direction, not approval tonight. We're estimated revenues on here at 105 swimmers, 375 for the fee, looking at just under 40,000. The expenses to the district are identified there as our staffing and then the recreation fees that we put back into our operating, which is 20% standard for all of our programming. You're gonna see the split there for the booster club, which is what the detail is regarding and the discussion tonight. Last year, our first year, the whole program was started and really pushed for from members of our community with a passion for swimming. Without them, this wouldn't be. They were heavily involved in the program last year and spent a lot of money out of their own pockets to make this happen, to buy things for the team store. They were reimbursed, but you know, originally it was out of pocket. So we've met with members of the swimmers, parents, and representatives, and have identified a plan of action that we'd like to move forward with, which would include them incorporating as a nonprofit, as a booster club for the swim team, identifying a budget each year to do the operations, the kind of minutia operations that we don't have the staff to work through, including meet schedules and doing paperwork for all of that, organizing team events, going after sponsorships. And so this would really be the focus of the Booster Club. We would identify those costs associated with that work, transfer that to them in the beginning of the season. They would be accountable for an expense report at the end. And any difference, if there was one, would be taken out of the following year's request for budget. So far, it seems that we've both come to terms that we would, the goal tonight is to, I guess, to make sure that this is something that you guys are okay with. I don't want to spend legal's time going over an agreement and drafting that if this isn't something that the board desires to do.
The only first thing I don't see, is there any necessary insurance?
Yes, so we cover the insurance. So as the district, it's our team. We provide staffing. The staff, the head coaches, the coaches would be our employees. The team is covered under our liability insurance, just like last year. We would cover the team at meets. There would be, however, a release that parents would have to sign, a notification that any booster-sponsored events would not be covered by the district. So if they're going away on trips or they're doing picnics in the park, those are not team sponsored, those are not required by us, those have to do with the Booster Club, and we would identify that not only to, with agreement with that club, but to the parents in a separate document.
On the proposed budget that we have here, I'm looking at direct pool cost of $1,400. Is that for the entire summer or
how? No, those are only the costs that are directly associated with opening the pool early for the swim team.
I see insurance certificates listed as miscellaneous. Mm-hmm. Is that separate from other insurances? Would that be additional certificates that would be needed for?
Yes, so those are certificates that we provide to organizations that are holding meets. They require that from us, and
as
we have to pay a fee.
Yes. Okay, and then my other clarification on your previous comment is, so what you're saying is that we're only, how do I say this, the district's only sponsoring home events, not away events, is that correct?
Oh, no, we don't have any home events. We don't have a
everything's board. Away.
Yes, everything's away.
So that the away events are still covered under our insurance.
Yes.
It's only event. Ancillary, if whether they're having a picnic, a party, and something that's not related to a swim meet.
Correct.
Directly.
Okay.
Karen, was this budget reviewed by the boosters group?
Yes, we've met and we've had a couple meetings, and the last one was just today, this afternoon. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd like to speak with him. Well, he's here in the audience.
Yeah, one of the recommendations after this meeting is I would hope that I would like to have a committee, an aquatic committee, that would meet on a monthly basis and report back to the board on how that's going, or to the subcommittee. But I'd like to see a formal committee made for the swim program so that we can, as board members, can participate in that discussion. And I'd be interested in moving that forward with the board. I think that would just facilitate, a clear dialogue with what the needs are and a better understanding on where we need to improve or areas that we need to fix. Okay. Is there anybody, any comments on that, having a committee from the board?
I think we could probably discuss that at our work, at our study session.
I think we have a subcommittee that's of the board, and I think if there were any issues that the Booster Club, now that they would be a kind of an organization outside of just the swim club, it seems more structured this year, which is great, that they could bring those concerns to. They could just go to Karen and say, Karen, we'd like to meet with your board representatives that are on the subcommittee and discuss whatever. If they feel like they need to take it to another level,
okay.
I think we could use the subcommittee for that without establishing another committee.
Appreciate that, Kevin. That's great. any public comment on the aquatic programming and recommendations?
Welcome back, Pierce. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Rick Pierce. I'm the aforementioned Booster Club representative. I'm president of the Discovery Bay River Otters Parent Board. And we actually have, like it was mentioned, we have a lot of parents here. We have our head coach, Haley Pantol. We have our meet director, Allison Watts, here. And a number of other parents and some other board people that are helping put together this for our entire town. It's been a lot of fun. It was a lot of work last year. It was fun, but really the reason we put the Parent Booster Club together was there was a lot of just day-to-day expenses, and we figured out it's different than like in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. If you go and you buy something, you just go to the treasurer and they cut you a check. Oh, you bought a tent that day, or they bought a tent for the troop. Here's a check for the $50 for the tent. Getting a check cut through the town is a little bit more difficult. So there were some just different expenses that were going on. Caps, shirts, software that we had to input. This year we're going to be buying a printer because we can print out certain things that we need to supply for our team. We go to a meet, we're going to have to submit entries. Last year there was entries to go to a meet would cost $20 to $25. Well, wasn't able to get a check cut from the town that quickly, so we had to lobby all the parents. You owe $20, but it's got to be in cash. So we're sitting there with this big wad of cash, and then we had to go to Safeway to get a cashier's check cut and to go that route. So it was just a lot easier just to form a small sub-account where we could go ahead and we could take care of those operations and not really, they got enough on their plate over there with what they're going on. And just the day-to-day operations works really well. And that was kind of the separation there to kind of take something off their plate, make it easier for us to process little things like that too. But that's really the reason we formed the Booster Club.
I really appreciate that, by the way, because I think that was a great solution that you guys came up with. Because when we met in the subcommittee, this was a discussion that we had. How are we going to deal with this? And I also want to tell you it's a great idea from the standpoint that it costs us money every time we cut a check, which means it costs the entire town money every time we cut a check for these. So I just think it's a great solution to what was kind of a difficult problem last year. And I think it's a great solution to the problem, and gives accountability to you directly for these expenses. And then, you know, we get a summary at the end of the year. This is, how did you come out?
Correct.
You know, does it need to be more this year, less next year?
And it's variable year to year, and we can kind of play with it as we
need. It's going to take time to find out exactly where you are.
Correct.
But really appreciate you doing this. I think it's a great
idea. No problem at all. So we're planning on going forward again this year with everything. Yeah,
I'm just trying to understand the financial side of it.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at this, you have 105 swimmers at $375 for the season.
Correct.
And the boosters are going to budget themselves $6,100 out of that total.
Correct.
And then you'll take that and put it in a separate bank account.
Correct. Check. Correct.
That $6,100 check will come from the town.
Correct.
To the boosters, and then.
Correct, and we will spend it accordingly, and then we will come back to the town at the end of the year with our actual expense report. But this is just the budget.
All right. So if this budget comes in at the budget, whatever, then the River Otters program will basically pay for itself.
Well, it'll pay for itself, and then you can also see up there the staffing. And then the recreation fees, so there's a 20% taken right off the top,
right,
that will cover heating the pool, the chemicals, and then also, you know, everything else, right, that goes along with having a community center and stuff. I understand, you know, I own a business myself, I understand there's got to be a level of profit there. So we've got to make sure that you guys are, you know, get a little bit of a profit off of it too. It's just like a program like any other,
right,
program
you're
offering.
Yeah, it wouldn't be profit, just comes our expense. We're trying to break.
Expense.
We can break even, we're happy.
Exactly.
It's overhead for the programs that we put in there. Every program needs to contribute to that. And
correct,
fortunately for us, we have you guys, because you guys, as was said earlier in the comments, are the most successful program we have. So we really want it to continue. We want to try to support it the best we can.
I appreciate it.
On the, it appears to be a very successful community program. How 105 swimmers, is that just because that's how many volunteered, or is
that's
that
kind of
your maximum? Or
that's maximum, and that we'll get into a little bit later. With you know, we're in a. Sometimes people in the swimming world kind of chuckle when I mention to them about we're running a swim team with a 3-lane pool, and they're just like, are you kidding me? And, you know, we're actually, last year we had 90 swimmers. Our goal was 80, and it seemed to be some lofty, and we wound up actually getting 90. And this year, I think it was successful last year, I like to think. So to go, but I really think at 100 to 105 is basically we are at capacity. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have different, it's not 105 are not all in the pool at the same time. Right. We actually have different groups that are going, but, you know, the coaches can't be out there 10 hours a day and yeah, everything I'm, like that. So
yeah, there's got to be there's a max somewhere.
There's a max.
Whatever, if that's what it is, that's what
but
it is.
But my fear is, you know, I don't want to turn kids away from activity if that's right. what they want. And that's for future discussion. But that's kind of, I think, year to year, that is our maximum number with the pool that we've got right now. And that's not going to change, you know, and Farron and I discussed earlier, you know, eventually we'd like to, once the program gets going, if we can kind of generate a little bit of a nest egg in there with the program, I'd like to start knocking down so the second swimmer, the third swimmer within a family get a reduced rate. Right now we're not offering that because it comes down to the bottom line. We need a function. But it would be nice to be able to say, okay, second and third swimmers, fourth swimmer in a family gets you know, $50 off for each additional. Sure. We'd like to be able to offer that. But this, I have a feeling, you know, first year we were kind of leading, you know, by braille in the dark a little bit there. And we have a much better idea this year. It's going to go a lot smoother this year. And next year I think it's going to be kind of even simpler. It's going to be based off of what we did this year, I think.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And those fees are very competitive.
Yeah, I mean, there's from what I hear, we were $350 last year. The Brentwood Dolphins were $350 last year. From the rumor I heard, they're actually going up to $450 at the Brentwood Dolphins. The water in Brentwood, the pool space in Brentwood, in my opinion, they gouged for that. And unfortunately, the Dolphins are being put in a bad position and having to pay a lot of money for water. And it's hurting aquatics in Brentwood, in my opinion. You will see there's in a take-home flyer in the schools this week. Ironically enough, the Aquanites, which they're out of the Diamond Hills Athletic Club in Oakley, they put a flyer actually out here. And I know Dan's going to be working on putting a flyer in the schools for us for our upcoming February 16th registration. They offer, their fees are less, but the little catch on theirs, you have to have a family membership to the Diamond Hills Athletic Club. So, you know, it winds up costing about $600 to $800 a kid. So our fees are actually fairly reasonable compared to when you factor it all in. And there's not much fees past what you see here, the $375. There's a suit. We include a cap. You've got to purchase goggles. And fortunately for swimming, there's not too much uniform involved. So you've got that. And then meets, we have a couple invitationals planned. And worst case scenario, an invitational, you're looking at about a $20 to $25 per swimmer fee to enter them in an invitational. Other than that, it's you know, fairly minimal on the fees.
Yeah, what is the season for this?
We're going, it's basically from April through July. We're going to go April, I want to say 14th, whatever that Monday is. Mid-April is when everyone shows up. The week before, we're going to allow new swimmers to come and practice for a week so the coaches get to know them. It's kind of like a tryout time period. But it allows the coaches to kind of get in with just the new swimmers on the team, and then the rest of the team shows up mid-April. And then we end with our last meet, which is the East County Invitational, which is going to be July 11th and 12th, I believe, and it's that weekend. And most teams go through the first week or two of August, and that's when the county meet is, and they kind of go through. But we start pretty early school out here. So last year we were experiencing a lot of families that all of a sudden, if we ran all the way up to that, they have no summer. They have no chance to go away. So we wanted to give them, you know, let's cut it short, make it a little easier on them. So we're a little bit of a shorter season than most teams, but for the most part.
All right.
Nice.
That's
really
awesome. All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on the swim team people? Tennis? All right. All right, well, appreciate that. Any other staff comments or suggestions?
The board, as this is an item that is on the board agenda this evening, you do have the opportunity to take action on this evening and adopt this budget, and that way we can certainly move forward with what Farron was indicating, getting with our legal department and working with Rick and his crew to put an agreement together. We can come back to the board at a later date, whatever your preference is.
I would move for a staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Great. Okay, we'll move on to item four, community center facility and operations. Item A, boardroom relocation considerations.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you this evening came about a year ago when we opened the community center back in January of 2014. At that time, the board did express interest in converting the Cabrillo room, which is the main part of the community center, the main room when you first walk in, to be able to conduct board of directors meetings at that location. Thus, we're relocating board meetings from this spot over to that spot for the first and third Wednesdays of the month, and whenever there would be a special need for a special meeting, like there is this evening. There's pros and cons to those situations. If we were to move our board meetings over to the community center, it's a temporary setup. It's a setup. It's a breakdown. We do have a budget associated with this evening. It's attached to the agenda report. It's approximately just under $21,000 to be able to make that. There's all new audio, video equipment that needs to be associated with it. There needs to be a platform riser, chairs, that sort of thing that needs to go with it. Mics, wireless mics, the entire basically recreating this environment over there with new equipment. The equipment here, while functional, is quite old. And if we were going to move, I would just replace the equipment with new equipment. Just because we don't have the facilities over there, we would be looking at it literally at a plug and play type. It would be on a rack. You plug it in, it would turn it on, and then at the end of the evening, you would unplug the rack and go lock it up. So I'm just looking for staff direction. I know some board members are more have a greater interest than others in this, and I wanted to get an idea and some direction from the board as to which direction you would like us to pursue.
Not wanting to step on the next agenda item, but as we look at the master plan for the community center, is there an opportunity to have this item considered in that planning effort before we go ahead and spend $20,000 and find out that maybe that's in conflict with whatever the master plan is going to move forward with?
Yes, Director Lee, the options that I'm going to be showing here in a few minutes for a potential site location, relocating this office, this phase of the town of Discovery Bay, not just the board but staff as well, to that location, does include a full board room and a dedicated board room. But I'm certain that many of those costs would be carried over. You'd be able to use the same chairs, the same audiovisual equipment. I'd like to be able to move towards having our meetings, instead of audio, at least maybe have video as well, so we can take those and drop those onto our new website and actually have them up on YouTube so that people can actually see what's taking place instead of hearing what's taking place. So those are some of the things that we would be considering. But as it relates to the new, to a new facility, that's part of the separate discussion of it, but it's next on the agenda.
What's your projection of the timing of that planning and programming effort for the community center?
I'd say 2.5 to 3 years.
Okay.
You know, there's some efficient, if we were to pull this meeting room out of here, out of this building, wouldn't there be an opportunity to add some office or our conference room in here for your staff and organize your staff into one building?
Well, we wouldn't all be able to be in the one building because we still have our rec staff over there, but yes, we would certainly be able to move one of my managers who works in a pretty isolated environment, Virgil, here, and would be able to do some minor modifications and build in a conference room. As you can see, we don't have a conference room in here. We've got a boardroom. And when we do have meetings that take place, sometimes those meetings have sensitive materials and the public is coming in and other employees can be listening to some of those meetings. And so it would be nice to be able to have a dedicated room for that. So that is one of the pros, absolutely.
I mean, we could put two offices in here in a conference room with this existing space at a minimum. So it might be an opportunity to get a little more efficiency.
And the another pro to the community center site is it provides an opportunity for the board to have a closed session facility in the classroom, if you will, where the board can meet privately in those types of environments. While the public can go come in and congregate in the main boardroom and wait for the board to come out of those sessions.
And can't most of this equipment be reutilized? I mean, this is not just exclusive to board use. This is most of the stuff is a multi-purpose type of a room, and it seems like 90% of this would be a good pieces to have for activities and events and training or classroom type uses.
A lot of it would be. There's no question.
I don't want to put these two items in the same discussion, really. I think we need to really move the boardroom over to the community center as soon as possible. Whether or not we move forward with any sort of long-term new construction over there, that's going to be years. Okay. And I think that we have the facility over there. It's much more convenient to the public to get there. The public will look to that for the meetings rather than be kind of a nondescript here in the back. And I just I would really urge the board to look at getting our board meetings moved over to the community center sooner than later.
I would agree with Kevin, and I'm assuming that we're talking about adding on to the community center, which will be to move staff over there and to put conference rooms in because there's no place to put them now, and which we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. We don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars. We don't have revenue. Our revenue is down, not up. We're in the middle of huge infrastructure issues. We owe $14 million in bond money, and to me, I can't see even considering spending a couple hundred grand out of a building. I do believe, I agree with Kevin 100%, the board should be in the community center, and I think at that point, that's where it should end for the time being until we find out where we have money coming from.
One component that I'm a little fuzzy on it, if the board made a decision back up, move over there, buy the new equipment, we have about $21,000, what's the expense to modify whatever it is that we staff feels they need to do here, because that would be part of the total of the move.
Well, we haven't priced it out, but I can't imagine it being that expensive. It would be two offices and a conference room, and it would just be walls and a few doors.
So we're going to keep
it. It's modular.
We
would just reconfigure this space right here.
Correct. Carpet would remain as is.
Probably replace the carpet.
I don't see that. Okay.
You could also look at workstations in here. I mean, I know a company just sold a ton of stuff. It was all used with pennies on the dollar.
Well, no, not workstations, because you look for a private office.
They have floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
All right. Any other discussion?
I guess my gut feeling is it's another 20. Okay. So.
You run the business. You probably have a better idea.
Well, you got to run electricity into the walls. You got to redo the air conditioning. Fix the electrical panel.
Turn the lights back on.
Have somebody do it.
We're already saving money.
So,
that would be another decision for the board to make.
Last summer, as we all experienced here, and the public that was here, that the air conditioning system, it's outdated and it's not running this building as efficiently. So is that part of the consideration?
Again, I don't see how that's related to moving the board room over there.
Well, it is.
It allows, that would allow this, that possibility to occur here, but that's a different issue altogether.
Well, I view it the same, and the reason is once you make the decision to move, then you pretty much made the decision to do it, but we haven't talked about a budget for that yet, so it's, once, I don't know.
Mr. President,
we certainly can come up with a budget to do that. We were primarily trying to get some numbers to you with respect to the relocation of this function over.
Well, I understand, but I'm looking down the road a little bit. It's expenses are expenses. I had one final question. Say that we did this and we put in the, I'll call it the portable dais. What type of staff time is it going to take to kind of set that up and then take that down each? Are we going to add more staff time for that, or how is that all going to work out?
Well, we would leave it most of the time. The only time that we would take it down is if there was a rental in that room. And as you saw from the rental summary earlier, there were only two in all for that front room. That because there's no privacy there or closed space, it's not rented very often. So we would only remove it for those circumstances. The way that we had it designed or asked for it to be designed was that it was completely mobile, that it could be taken apart very easily. I'm sorry, I forgot the term that they used for it, but when you're using equipment, or when you're assembling furniture and there's that lock
net. Cam
lock. Yeah, that's the way that they'd be utilizing that, and there'd be five or six different panels, and those would all attach together and get locked into place, so you could very easily come through, unlock them, take the pieces out, and they could be stored. Because the pieces are separate, they're fairly light. So I don't know the timing on that, but it wouldn't be very often.
Okay. All right.
Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the staff recommendation to acquire the equipment and move the Board of Directors meeting place over to the community center.
Before we second this,
the staff recommendation was to seek direction at this time, so we would be looking for a recommendation from the board. If you would like to adopt the plan as presented, that could be your recommendation.
If I may, that's what I was asking before. I would like, before we vote on this, I'd like to see a written breakdown of what it's going to cost to convert that for the board to move over there, so we know exactly what we're looking at. We're guessing 21 grand. It could come in at 19 grand, it could come in at 26 grand. If we're going to vote on it, I'd like to know what it is. I'd like to know what's included in the 21 grand.
Oh, it's on page 75 of 84.
It's right down right here.
It's right there.
I got to find it, right.
These are hard numbers that you have gotten quotes from, right?
What page? While director
75 of 84 of the electronic
C4.
While Director Simon's reviewing that, I have a question on the bathroom upgrades. It says that I guess the only thing you're going to do there, you're going to put in a laminate floor. You know what happens when laminate gets wet?
Yeah, they have a it's a solid piece. There's no I don't know the name of it, but it's a complete solid piece. There's no seams. Maybe laminate's not the best description, but it is solid. It looks like laminate, and
there's a vinyl product that comes in sheet.
Maybe that's what it was. I'm sorry.
It could look like.
Yes, that was the discussion. Actually, we had that priced out from the original renovation, and we ran out of budget money. So this is that cost from that period of time.
All right. Yeah, if we weren't aware of that, it would be a big issue.
Yeah.
Where's the platform on here? And is that the $6,000 item?
Yeah.
And that platform could be used for receptions and events to have at the front of a room to have a guest table or a symposium or something?
We could probably have it designed that way to where the facade on the front comes off.
We can just get something off the shelf. We don't need a custom design or anything, do we?
Well, yeah, because it has to fit the space and we have to be able to remove it. So
really, nobody has a modular system off the shelf right now
that
does in 6-foot sections?
There are, Director President Steele, but to be perfectly honest with you, they are they're more like the ones you see when you go to traveling at conferences. They might have a little bit of a riser, and you can see the aluminum or the metal frames underneath that keep it in place. And they're actually, to be perfectly honest with you, pretty tacky looking.
Yeah.
And for a 1-foot step platform, we thought this was a better way to go.
You know, sometimes we go to, my family and I go to choral events where they're singing and there's performances, and they've got riser stands. They're very modular. It's a one-man thing to move them. But they have an apron that goes around the front of them, and they're very easy to conceal but they're low cost. They should only cost about $400 or $500 for an 8 foot or 10 foot section, but you may want to look into something like that rather than have some sort of custom thing that can't be stored easily.
Sure. The custom part of this, I think, was not just the platform. It's that you had a facade in the front of it to hide the tables, and it was rosewood, just the color, same as matching our front reception desk at the community center, so it had a more official look to that. So if you just want a platform with tables on it, then that's, we could cut that cost.
All right. I think it should look more professional with that. I mean, if you're going to do it, it should be. I would hate to go in. See some square box with a tissue hanging on the front of it.
Okay, all right.
We're going to do it.
Big spender, all right.
Okay, Bob, back to where you're at. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Second.
Motion is made.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous, thank you. What's the time frame on this? Is this like 60 days, 90 days? What do you think?
I think 60 days is doable.
So we'll look forward to our March board meetings. Thank you. All right, next item, please. Community center long-term site plan. Dog park update. And staff?
Let's pull that right. The next item before you is to discuss the site plan for the overall site for the community center. And if you bear with me for a second. The site plan that is there before you on the board was drafted by a local former Discovery Bay resident who happens to be an architect and had a lot of input from the community center from various community center committees. This would be the greatest wish list of all. If everything came to fruition, it would have the pool. And it's on page.
Do we have that?
I don't see that.
Yep, page 70.
It's on page 82 of 84 of the electronic version. And that would include the demolition of the existing building, the removal and replacement of the swimming pool that's there right now with the new pool. And it would include relocation of district offices over there. It would include a community center with meeting rooms and banquet rooms, something more of a traditional community center that you might see, but something similar to what Brentwood recently completed, as well as a complete one-stop location for residents to come in and to be able to conduct the business, to pay their bills, to get information, to sign up for a class, to take the class, to play tennis, to swim. This was the ultimate, and there's a number of versions before that that get you there. You scroll back up on your agenda packets and you can see those, and it was phased. And so if you were to go back to page, and I'll put it up on the screen also for everybody else to see. 77.
I had these loaded. I don't know what happened.
It's a little hard to make out, but the dark lines would be phase one of a relocation of a what would be the town of Discovery Bay district offices, operational facilities. It leaves the existing community center in its current configuration, and it would build, it would provide a new boardroom, as you see. It would provide a multi-purpose room. To the right of that would be future expansion for future classrooms for the new community center. And you can see on the left where the final plan might end up being. I don't generally like to editorialize in agenda reports. I was having a conversation with one of you yesterday regarding this conversation. But I feel that it's important that we have a meaningful dialogue and discussion with respect to the long-term ramifications of continuing to use this facility as a district office. It is sited where one of two of our water production facilities that provide the drinking water and our domestic drinking water to our community exists. It is vulnerable. The gate is open during the day. We've had a couple of break-ins over the years, primarily kids. We catch them on tape and they climb the fence and they climb back out. We haven't had any vandalism other than moving tables and things along like those lines outside. There was a break into this building a number of years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago. And that's the last time anything significant happened on this site here. But at some point in time, I think it's important for this board to consider the relocation of this district office and these facilities. This building is over 15 years old at this point in time. It was purchased used when we purchased it. As has already been mentioned, during the summertime, you can't keep up with the pool. And in the wintertime, you can barely keep up with the heat. It's not an optimal location for the community, for the residents to be able to come and conduct their business. A lot of people don't know where we are. We do our best to remind them that we're back behind the church. And so we plod along. We discussed in this current year's budget back in June, in May and June, when we adopted the current budget, we did put a placeholder in that budget for $150,000 to begin the planning process. And it was only a placeholder, and as I indicated then, no money would be spent before coming back to the board, and we have not spent a nickel on this up to this point in time. But I did want the board to have, I just think it's important that the board at least begin to consider this dialogue, especially as it relates to the site over there. We have the opportunity, we've got the land. Many of you have visited a number of different sites with me and looked at a number of different options. And the way that this layout, I would recommend, if the board would want to go in this direction, that we engage the board, if you want to engage the community as well in this phase of it as well. But at some point in time, I think it's incumbent upon us to have to be able to relocate from this spot. We can't be here forever. We're a public agency serving 16,000, 17,000, 18,000 people here when we're built out, and not having a functional office in order to be able to do that could be problematic in the long term. So I'm just bringing that to your attention. And again, I apologize for the editorializing in the agenda report, but I felt it was important to pass my opinions along to you.
All right, so let's move on to what the community center site is and the components that we have there right now, and look at how those, if we see any additional type of uses coming into that space. I mean, the components right now, we've got an aquatic component, we've got a tennis component, we've talked about having a dog park component, we've got an outdoor space component. Do we see any other components that we think that, have anybody requested anything else that we should be adding as far as a community center site? Sir?
Well, we've had requests for skate parks, we've had requests for an ice rink, we've had requests for skating during the summer and ice skating, regular skating in the summer and ice skating during the wintertime. So
We do get a number of requests. Probably the one that's most that is gained the most traction is the last item that's on the agenda tonight, and staff doesn't have any prepared comments other than to note that there has been some discussion regarding the potential skate park somewhere in the town, whether it's at that location or whether it's part of the spoke somewhere else.
All right, and the town office could be somewhere in the community too. It doesn't have to be the 7 acres either, right?
True. I would suggest it would be nice to have a civic center at some point where we have everybody locked up in one location where it's one-stop shopping.
We got 150 acres behind Safeway too, right?
We don't.
No, we don't. But it's a vacant space. Yeah, I get that. So I want to focus on. I mean, I get those. We want to someday come to a critical mass and have a civic center. But I think tonight's the long term on this. We need to look what we're doing with it right now. And what is the long term? Are you talking 20 years? Are you talking 1 year, 5 year plan?
Well, for this phase, I would like the board, and we can discuss this if it's the board's pleasure, a little bit more in depth at the workshop coming up on the 31st. But I think it would be important that we could go ahead and possibly within a 3 to 5 year period make that transition from this location to that location.
Have you had any dialogue with the parcel owner to the south in the last year as to what their planned uses are and any changes to that plan?
I did have a dialogue with the with their finance person on Monday or Tuesday, don't remember the day. And there is not an interest in disposing of that site, but there might be some interest in moving a portion of their site.
I remember when we had our community center committee and we were going through this purchase process and they were buying their piece. There was talk about mutual use in the short term before they developed. And their development timeline was probably greater than 10 years when we were having that conversation. And so I just want to make sure
it's been moved up.
Oh, okay.
It's been moved up. They're already discussing with staff, I believe, putting in the driveway. That's a joint effort. Have you guys had that discussion?
They're working with Rec 800 right now. The first stage is to cover the creek.
Right. They're moving their schedule forward a little bit. They've got some desire to move that forward.
But there was, I specifically asked that question because you and I had that conversation, mm-hmm. and it did not appear that they were interested in selling the entire parcel, mm-hmm. but that there might be some interest in selling linear X number of feet to help accommodate whatever needs we might need.
And what's the status on the fire station?
The fire station is in county council's office, very similar to our park transfer agreement issue. I know that the ECCFPD is having the exact same issues we are. They would like to obtain ownership of that parcel, and the county is not being very responsive to that request. And Director Graves may know more about that because he attends those meetings than I do.
That's about it.
That's about it.
Well, Chief Henderson has indicated that that's not a short-term issue as far as he's concerned right now, because he has not gained any traction in trying to get that resolved.
Sorry, Simon?
The community center, everybody understands that somewhere down the road we'd like to have a beautiful community center, a multi-million-dollar building, multi-use building. We're all in agreement. And as somebody who's lived here since 1983, and I've attended more meetings, even from the first boards that started looking at it, every board and everybody that's looked at it has agreed with the same thing. It's going to take a ballot measure to build that and to run it. We don't have the money. And for right now to take 150 grand and start looking at what we might do with it 10 years down the road, when it makes absolutely no sense to me. I think we need to learn to live within our means. We own the building. We renovated the building. It's operating at a loss, which I shouldn't say a loss, but it's costing us more to run it than it brings in. We're fine with that. We're trying to grow that building. We're going to move the offices over it, but we are in no position to spend millions of dollars on anything if we don't have that kind of money. And I don't think you can look at future build-up because nobody's building. Pantages hasn't broken ground. nobody else is breaking ground, and most of the money that's going to come in from there, we've already pretty much earmarked for half of our infrastructure projects. I'd like to see us just slow down here a little bit and stop going crazy trying to spend money we don't have.
The item I just went to is on page... ...80 of 84 of your packet, and it shows the existing community center in its current location, knowing that there are long-term financial considerations with respect to the community center component. With respect to the district component, as the board is aware and the public is not, we have buckets of money that we can spend on different things, and we cannot commingle certain funds with certain funds. But we certainly could move a district office to that location with monies that are not part of the community center buckets, if you will. So I'm looking at a phasing approach to a relocation, and when the time comes, you build the final plan. But that's, you're right, I agree with you. That is something that is the final community center component with the big banquet rooms and everything else, that's down the road. I think with what we have right now, it's working. We're in our first year of operation. And while some things have been super successful, some things haven't been. I think that, you know, the weekend parties, pool, the concerts that the Lions Club has put on out there, those have been great opportunities. Mm-hmm. The Zumba classes have been very successful. Some other classes haven't been quite so much. So we're doing what we can, and we're trying new things. And once we get a good comfort level, that's going to all take off at some point in time. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to be day one you're going to open up and it's going to be filled to the rafters. So it's going to take time. But I'm thinking more from a strategic standpoint as it relates to the town of Discovery Bay and our basic operational functions, which also would allow and offset some of the costs that the community center would absorb with respect to some of the maintenance costs that they're absorbing right now. We would be able to absorb some of a proportionate share as well. I bring it up for that reason.
It's going to be a long term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next. If it's okay with the board, I would like to add this to the workshop on the 31st with some, just for a little bit additional discussion, and I can bring some additional material back with that.
Can you inform the board and the community what services they can take care of at the community center? I thought we could pay a water bill over there. Do they still have to come here and pay a water bill if they don't have a mail?
Most of our bills come electronically or are paid online. We get very few that, I shouldn't say very few, maybe a third of them get mailed to us. And the only times we really see people come in there's a handful of people that just want to come in every month. They want to come in, they want to say hi, they've gotten to know Willow, and they want to come in and, you know, play with Ollie for a second. That's the dog. And so there's a core group that comes in. Then there's the group that comes in because they haven't made their payment, they've had shut off notices, so they've got to come in. And there's a period of time when that takes place. So it does happen. We are not equipped to accommodate accepting water bills at the community center at this point in time.
Is that the only thing that the public comes to visit us about, is water bills?
No, we get members of the public in here all the time asking questions about many things, and just questions about the community. I just moved in. Who can you set up my trash for me? My trash company for me. Well, we don't do that, but here's the phone number. We get those types of walk-ins.
Maybe we can work on how we can, if we're going to move the boardroom over there, maybe we can work on plans for the staff to assist people over there. Like, that's where you go get your information about the town. You know, over there at the community center, we have staff sitting there. When the doors open, it seems like we should be migrating that way and making an awareness that that's where they should come and ask their general questions. So, any other?
The community, that they get people over there too.
Okay.
It's divide and conquer.
All right, let's move on. All right, no problem. Any other board discussion?
I do. I don't disagree with staff that in the long term, we need to have an office facility that better utilizes the space we have over there, and how that's configured, whether it's one of these three options or something totally different. But I am concerned, as well as Director Simon, in the financing and the funding of all of that. And I could not be in support to spend any funds at this time to go out for an RFP to try to do some design work without first having the financial model that's going to get us there. I think that if we could have some kind of financing concepts, we may not have all the answers, but some concepts in mind that we could discuss at our study session, I think that would help us get a little further along and get a little more comfortable about committing to do the pre-planning. Yes, we've got to have some pre-planning, and yes, it's going to be 3, 4, 5 years, that's fine, but I think we need to have some sort of a model from a financing standpoint. As you mentioned, there's different revenue streams that we can't cross co-mingle, but if we're in the same building, legally there's ways to do all that. I'd like to have those discussions so that the board understands that, because the decision that this board makes about moving forward in the future is going to impact other boards that are here. And I would want to help lay down the framework so that the new boards that come through can say, okay, yeah, that's making sense. We're on track. They can continue what we've started to do financially.
Then I would withdraw my suggestion that we discuss this on the 31st. And once we can pull some of that information together, and we'll work on that, to come back with maybe a study session like this at a later date and have that.
Whatever's right. I think financing is the biggest item. That's the number that's what we're elected to do, is to watch the numbers.
I think that's a great idea.
I think we also need to see what happens with the benefits assessment that the fire district is putting forward, and seeing how the community responds to that. You know, they're asking for $90-something a year to give us continued fire service at a level that's satisfactory, not a high level, a level that's satisfactory. And I think, again, I also agree that the community has to have skin in the game in this expansion, and that needs to come through a benefits assessment or a parcel tax. And it's going to be interesting to see how that moves forward, and whether the community is ready to support some sort of investment in their future.
Is there any public comment?
I just have a...
You have to come forward to the podium, please.
And I guess I can... We're still kind of under the dog park.
We're under the long-term plans.
Oh, okay. Because then, yeah, the first thing you said was dog park. I was like, you're not talking about that. Okay, because I was just... This is such a future projection that you have up there right now. And so I was just, you know, kind of thinking, you know, maybe there's more like temporary Band-Aid type solutions to some of these... the problems that we're having. It's, you know, because I have to agree with Mark. It's very difficult to formulate a plan for something when you don't have the money to back it up. How, you know, and it's like, okay, we don't have the money. We don't even have a plan to get the money. So maybe we should just tone things down for the time being until, you know, we see groundbreaking. And, you know, of course, main reason I'm here is for the dog park, because I feel so bad for my poor little dog. And but, you know, and I'm just looking at this going, man, this looks like it's going to happen so far into the future. And I was like, no, it can't be too expensive to use Band-Aid type solutions in the here and now, in continued planning for the future. And that's it.
Thank you. Any other public comment? All right, I'll close public comment, and we'll move on to item one, dog park update. Cool.
Okay, so kind of just moving, there's a couple items here. First is just where we're at as far as fundraising. Dan brought a list that printed today as what we've received. I'm gonna let him speak to that.
As of today, we've received 17 people with the dedication memorial plates. We received $1,000 for that. We have one gold sponsor of 250, and then we have some silver sponsors equaling them $120. We raised $415 at the Festival of Trees, so right now we're at a total of $1,785 for the total of the dog park fundraising.
What and was the estimated budget to kind of do the dog park, if I recall,
was
about five or six.
I think, not, I don't want to steal their thunder, but I think that the Lions Club is here this evening to add to that, that amount, and when you get to public comments, I think that he'll probably want to get up and address that with the board. That was a good check, Dave. So
people watching this where we locked the door when he came in.
I also just wanted to update you that we did start a Facebook page to update the community regarding the dog park and the happenings with that. As of today, there's 245 members on that page, so there is interest within our community and continued interest. We did also have, we're continuing to receive emails and walk-ins. We had two today regarding the plates. There's been a number of sponsors. I told you in the 15 range. We've also had some offers of services, plumbing. We haven't had any materials donations as of yet, but those could help offset that financial goal if those were to come in. Other than that, besides that just update, there is a change to the sponsorship form, and I'm sorry it's not really.
And it's the last page of your agenda packet, page 84 of 84.
Okay. You guys had previously approved this. It's been before you in the past. It's the changes today are the addition of the platinum sponsor and then just revising the dollar amounts of the sponsors below. The reason it's before you is because we have had at least one offer of a significant donation. It was first requested that donation would be in exchange for naming the park after a specific person. It did not seem to be the board's desire to do that, and so we were kind of talking in our subcommittee about different options we could give for substantial donations. So that's what this is covering, and I am looking for approval or comment and direction on that tonight.
We don't have a sponsorship policy with the town, do we?
No, we don't. In fact, this board, I shouldn't say this board, but the majority of this board, four-fifths of you anyway, within the last 2 years, had this discussion. We've had the discussion whether or not we wanted to be sponsors, not whether or not other people wanted to be sponsors. So I'm going to retract everything I just said. Never mind.
All right. So back to the green.
I understand that.
So back to green play. I don't know if you've known that they have a full sponsorship program, and I don't know how this aligns with that program. Could you go over that?
Not specifically tonight. I wasn't prepared to discuss that, but we can at a future date.
So what are we looking for tonight?
Approval of that board?
Approval of the revised sponsorship levels.
So moved.
Definitely.
Any public comment?
Dave, it's your turn. As he gets up begrudgingly.
Right in the middle of this motion. Well, the Lions Club has really appreciated the community center. We have our board meetings over there. We've had some very successful events over there. We plan to do that in the future. And we happen to have a lot of dog lovers in the Lions. And so we'd like to be platinum sponsors
and I do have a check for $1,000 for you.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you so
very much. Chris, the president. All right, we appreciate it.
Can we make the dog park the Lions dog park?
Lions and
dogs. It's for dogs, not lions.
Photo op. David, get back for the photo op. Make sure you show them you're getting the check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure you can
reach. Hold hands or you can shake hands. Good morning.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We appreciate your support on the meeting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, David. We appreciate it very much.
We have a second one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any other public comment regarding the dog park?
Yeah.
Please come to the podium, please.
So just a question. We're now at 2,700. Where is it going to be? My first time hearing, is it, because when you look at that beautiful thing, it may never happen.
Mm-hmm.
Are we thinking of just putting a chain link fence up, throwing some dirt out for $5,000? What is the proposal, and can it happen sooner? Can we get?
Can
someone just comment, please?
But why don't we give us a little background on the dog park and multiple dog parks and the site specific?
Sure. Okay, first and foremost, the location of the dog park is to the east of the tennis courts in the area that he's highlighting. It's over an acre in size. It is mostly fenced already. We would have to add some gates and a small amount of additional fencing. We would also need to add some benches and water faucets for the dogs. The reason we chose that site is because that it's mostly fenced, and that the cost associated with opening a dog park would be minimal, and on a tight budget already, that was preferable.
And we're also, when we've had our conversations in the past, there's been multiple locations in the town where dog parks could potentially go as the demand comes along, right? Mm-hmm. One of them was Slifer Park, and maybe there's some other sites.
Yeah, originally we had had a community meeting several years ago, I think it was in 2011, and we did identify two larger locations where we could split a small and a large dog park. These would be full-blown start to finish, a lot more expensive. There's been some things that have prevented that from happening, lack of budget funds, other issues that have occurred. But those plans are still out there. It's still a possibility. It's just not one that is in the near future, and there is a need and demand now. So we're trying to address that.
And for the hours of the park, is that going to be like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and will there be lighting at the dog park?
There will not be lighting in the current budget that we have assigned to this. I did have somebody come in today and was asking when we were going to stop selling the dedication plates there, and I think there really isn't an intent in our communications in the community center subcommittee that we would like to add on to this if we can. So if we can continue to get donations, we can start to add those features. Within the small budget and the goal that we're trying to get to open the park, that was the main focus, is to open it. As far as accessibility, it would be accessible at the same hours of our community center now, which is we open at 8 and we close between 8 and 9 depending on the season and the day of the week. That we have also discussed in that in those committees some other options that would leave that open and kind of fence off the rest of the property so that the tennis courts as well as the dog park could be accessed without having to have staff lock and unlock and or even putting timed gates in. For right now, though, the option is that we would open it during our operational hours at the community center.
And that's 7 days a week?
We're closed on Sundays right now, but we're open during summer 7 days.
Okay. Any input on the dog park today? Anything?
Sounds like the community's got enough dogs here to utilize it.
Yeah. I'd like to expand it to have some lighting there as well, and budget on that. We might have a donor for those lights that's got at the park. How much were the lights at the Cornell Park? When
they were about $3,500 a piece installed.
Okay. Well, Ari might need four of them.
I don't know the answer to that. Okay. Yeah, I'd have to look at the
story. How many people are out at 10 o'clock at night?
No, I'm just talking about 6 o'clock at night right now in the wintertime.
Yeah, most people are doing it daily.
All right.
What's the proposed deadline? Is there a timeline that we can get this up and running? Like you said, there's a lot of people that would like it. Is there a way we can just get it up and running, put a temporary fence up, and just let us, little by little, we can grow and grow and grow and get lights one day?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to open before there's lights. Our goal right now is to have it open in spring, and as soon as we hit the financial or materials goals, then we will definitely put that in.
Okay.
Cool. Any action right now? What do we just need? We just need some more funding.
The board already took the action on with respect to the sponsorship.
So as soon as we can get the remaining balance or the materials in place, then we can start construction. Okay, perfect. And that's about a 6-week construction cycle. What is the cycle on it?
I think I've shared that before. It's 2 weeks because there's not a lot of work involved with that, and we have a number of volunteers. So as long as we can meet the minimum volunteer hours, so even though we have a list of volunteers, we're not sure what their commitment level or desire on certain tasks is. So 2 weeks is what we're shooting for.
All right, so the community center subcommittee can meet in the next 2 weeks and address the balance that's remaining, and we can get that back to the board for the 1st of February that we're moving for on that.
All right, point of order. Mr. President, the board had a motion and a second, and they did not complete the vote.
Oh, good.
The revised
sponsorship level.
You guys okay with us going on?
Motion second.
We already made a motion.
Okay.
There's a motion.
Yeah, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
If you're putting together volunteers, could you let the Lions Club know, and we'll see if we can give you a hand?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
You might also contact the Splash Club instead of the Yacht Club.
All right, let's move on. Sorry. Aquatics complex and existing pool renovations. Yeah, please.
I'll give you an update on the replastering project at the pool. They are scheduled to be out on Monday to start the draining. They'll be demoing the 22nd and 23rd, which is Thursday and Friday, and then coming out the following Monday to begin the replastering. That is the schedule they were as of today. There were some delays in the project due to the heavy rains and then the waiting period for the permit.
Is there any discussion on the covering, I won't call it a building because it's not a building, I'll call it a shed, over the top of the new heating and filtration system that we have, the roof and the leakage and all that. The building's structure is about ready to go down. I don't know where in the staff complex.
I heard the term band-aids, and that's kind of how we've been addressing that. We're really limited on money, and so that's the.
Well, my main concern is the ability of, we've got new equipment in there, and having it be in the weather or something happening to that new equipment because of the condition of the building.
Yeah, the equipment is designed to
it's outdoor equipment.
Yeah, it's outdoor equipment, but you know, we have repaired the roof to the best of our abilities to prevent the leaking. During heavy rains, just as like our community center, we did have leaking during that heavy storm event into our roof in the community center. So,
to be expected. Though.
Yes.
All right.
Any discussion on this, on the renovations? Is there any other renovations that we're looking at this year, or for the pool? Are we looking at a pool cover or anything?
That would be at the discretion of the board. When we were looking at the, and it might even be something for the swim team or something that we put on for next year's budget, I think we priced them out to around $3,500 or so. That would be at the discretion and desire of the board. No, it's not. It's a pool. They're expensive.
Well, we have the big crank system.
We do, yes.
Cover design.
Yes, yes.
All we need to do is for the replacement material.
Yes.
Okay, can the staff look into that for us and bring us back a budgetary item on that.
Do you want me to bring that to the subcommittee or to the board?
Yes, subcommittee.
And along with the pros and cons, why we should or should not get it.
Okay.
So we have to get details.
Yeah, so that's going to be important.
Yeah, is it going to save us? Is it an energy saving?
Yeah, do we send energy to keep our...
Where do we get our bang for our buck from this pool cover?
Any public comment on renovations of the pool area?
Hello again. So, as I was kind of talking about before with the River Otters, we're, you know, after even 1 year, we're pretty much at our capacity based on the pool. It's a three-lane pool. It's probably the, besides any backyard pools we have out there, the smallest public pool that you're going to find in the Bay Area at all. It's pretty tiny. So I guess my recommendation, or I would ask, being it's one of the successful programs that we have going, and obviously we're a water-based community, so is if we do eventually move forward to put in a pool, I'm not asking, we're not planning on hosting the 2028 Olympics or anything like that, but something, if you guys, I don't know how many of you have been to they call it the BFAC, Brentwood Family Aquatic Center, over there in Brentwood, it's the one with the water park and everything like that. The main pool that the Liberty Swim Team uses is about a 10-lane, 25-yard pool. There's other pools in the facility and everything else like that, but just the main pool, a very simple, basic 10-lane pool. Heritage is a 50-meter pool. That's a full-size pool. That's, you're getting up into 32 lanes, I believe, by 25 yards. So this is not nearly the size of that, but it's enough to be able to host a swim meet. So the River Otters are not in a position to, our swim meets would last about a day and a half if we try to host a swim meet now. Not to mention the pool actually is not 25 yards, it's 71 feet, which is 4 feet shy of 25 yards. So if the time seemed a little quick, we're not going to
have to. Oh, I got my best time.
Exactly.
I went so slow today.
So, I mean, it works for the purpose that we've got right now. It's great. I would just ask moving forward when there's considerations of the community center and what the future is for that, that definitely the pool should be at the top of that because we are a water-based community. We have a successful swim team after even 1 year going, and I'd like to see it grow. I don't think it's out of the question that we could see a 200-person swim team. We could run a seasonal swim team. Out of a pool like I described, you can run a seasonal swim team like the River Otters, which is summer league. You can run a year-round swim team and bring in a club like the Terrapins that Olympian Natalie Coughlin swam for, local swimmer Kate Dwelly swam for. There's other teams, the Walnut Creek Aqua Bears, Pleasanton Seahawks, teams like that that would be looking to have a satellite team. The Terrapins did that once in Brentwood before Brentwood decided to price everyone out. So it's something that I think you could have that. You could run water polo. Water polo is a sport that's catching on. There's a lot of opportunity there for, you know, even a basic pool, nothing exorbitant, but something that we could get going with programs and kind of go from there. But just something.
Masters?
You can run masters. You can run lap swim. In addition to, you know, I mean, there's aqua exercise. There's, you can run scuba classes. There's no
swim lessons.
Recreation swim, which we already do. I mean, there's a lot of overlap in all that. Scuba would be a huge one. There's no, now that Sports Chalet closed, there's no scuba lessons unless you want to go to Pleasanton, nothing in East County. So there's a prime market for that right now. So there's a lot of opportunity for aquatics and to build a pool that can be used. And if it's run properly, and you could fill it from 5:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. every night and basically get enough groups in there to cover your costs of the pool. That's like what you're saying, is operate on, you know, a zero cost. And then when you use it, it eventually becomes, you're paying your staff, but it's free in a sense because you brought enough groups that have covered the expenses of the pool itself. You have your button on your finger on the button, so I was wondering if you want to see.
Not while you're still there.
Okay.
That was more for the president to notice.
Something
than you
gone,
time,
right? Yeah.
I have a suggestion now that we have a boosters club in the formation, so that it doesn't take our staff time because we know that it just isn't there yet. But if you and your group were to go out and research and put together a budget proposal, here's you design the pool. here's what it would cost, here's the maintenance, just like all the programs you just outlined, here's our expected revenues, et cetera. And we'd have something that we could then put into our discussions and know reality. Because for us to go ahead and do all that along with the other work that staff does, they don't have the
Well, that's also not your expertise on
figuring
out how to...
Correct. So if you put that on your guys' hopper and bring them back whenever, definitely. I think we'd be very receptive to that.
And I think that the Parent Booster Club would also be in favor of, I like the idea of a tax, a parcel tax, but in order to do that, you have to have people that support it and go door-to-door and knock and encourage the community and lobby for that. So it would be good to have as many people as possible. And if the swim team knows that part of that includes a pool, you've already got a ton of residents that are already going to be in favor of that. That's just one aspect of it. So we would be in favor of somehow helping the process. That's not something we would initiate, but something that we would be willing to help steer, you know, help out on.
We're going to take a step at a time. Bring us a budget.
Yeah. Thanks for your time. We appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Maybe I should have gone, because now you stole my thunder. I really think that you know, there's things that this community is excited about, and there's things that we can do that's going to get the community excited. But we have three things that I know the community supports and is excited about, and that's the dog park, the aquatics, and the skate park. And we've had a lot of discussion about that within the community. And these are all things that if we can harness them, and they'll move right along with what Rick was saying, is what I'm thinking. These are things that would help the town convince the residents that for a small yearly fee, and as a parcel tax, and I hate to say it, but it's the truth, then we can start to finance this community center the way we need to, so we can get the programs and get the things built that we need to get built and get them built the way we need to have them built. The dog park's working, but not as well as it could be. We haven't even addressed the skate park yet. The aquatics, they're making do with the best they can. We know we want to have a bigger building over there that can facilitate banquets and other things. And all that would be tied into this idea of getting the entire community to get skin in the game and buy off on the need for a more advanced and professional type of community center. And I hate to say civic center because I don't really look at it that way, but more community center and community based with regards to, you know, the number one thing on the poll that we took, how many years ago, 4 years ago, was cooking classes. We don't have a kitchen over there. I mean, so the community wants stuff. It's just whether or not they're willing to put their money where their desires are. And I think that as long as we can keep them excited about some programs we have a better chance of making that happen.
So the community center subcommittee will work with the boosters on putting the plan together for a proposal, okay?
I would suggest that you let the Boosters Club put their plan together and then bring it back to you guys. Don't even get involved in it.
Right.
It's not.
We'll bring it to us.
Let the boosters do their thing whenever they're ready.
I'll correct that.
Let Farron know and bring it to them.
And I'm sure Farron has probably made them aware. The Booster Club, well, couldn't be because it's just now being established, but the Booster Club at any time wants to have the discussions with representatives of the board that's on a subcommittee. They just have to make those arrangements with Farron, and she'll set up a meeting. So we'll feel that that's always an open door.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. We'll close public comment. Let's move on to our tennis complex.
That's the room, man.
I didn't know what they were here for.
Thanks for coming, you guys.
You guys could have said I got one at a time, it wouldn't look so bad.
So I know I've recently updated you that the upgrades to the courts at the tennis complex have been completed. It was recommended by the subcommittee that we bring back a budget just to look at regarding lighting two of the courts, since there is no current lighting at the courts anymore since that's been removed. I also wanted to identify one of Dan's goals this year that we discussed was now that we have courts that are playable and in good condition, reaching out to our local players who are here all the time, you know, use the courts the most, on how to establish tournaments and get Discovery back in the tournament circuit. So That's the basic updates I have on the tennis court, and if there's any questions or comments.
Are there any tennis players here? I guess tennis players are satisfied with what we've done.
A couple of them came in, didn't they?
Yeah.
So we'll have all eight courts. We'll be back. They're back in service now. Eight courts.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Well, six courts were renovated, but all eight are in service.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item three. Any skate park options or discussion?
We added this to the agenda. We have no presentation. I know that there are members of the community that have expressed interest in it, and so this would be a perfect opportunity, I think, for the board to hear from those members of the community that would be interested in that, and have a discussion as to a potential future skate park. And you know, there's so many different options. There's the concrete ones. There's modular ones. There's just a lot of different options. So. It's really the board's preference.
Is there any public here that skateboards besides me? No, there's two, there's three. Any public comment on skate parks in general?
I'm a father of a couple of good skateboarders that are really young, and we travel to experience other skate parks, and not that I had anything prepared, but I do want to say that I know for myself and other parents, it would definitely be appreciated and used. So anyhow, if you needed any fundraising towards that, Mark knows that I'm an auctioneer, and I would sure like to volunteer some time and helping to generate some funds for a skate park. So.
What are some skate parks that you would say is a good example of a skate park?
We like the one in Brentwood. That's a pretty good park, but they run every other day. They either run a BMX or a skateboard. There's one in Livermore that is open to the public at all times. I don't know that that's one that works well for the age of my children, who are 6 and 8. We spend a lot of time in the one in Livermore downtown that is an indoor wooden half pipe that functions real well for young kids. So any of them, I think, are great. I just think that this community always can use a place for kids to have good activities that keep them out of trouble, and skate parks can utilize that. So.
And on the wood ramp one, that's kind of a temporary setup they use?
The one that they use in Livermore that's downtown is an indoor facility, and it's wood, and that's why it can last. Mm-hmm. But if it was outdoors, you'd probably look more in the concrete or steel. And I don't know a lot about it. I just have been, we've traveled to them and used them, and so I know kind of the pros and cons of what we like about them. But any and all are fun to kids at whatever level that they can utilize them.
A lot of rules and
you know, there are a lot of parks. There's a huge one that they built in Fremont. We've only been to twice. It seems like you can run a park with a lot of rules, or you can run a park that runs itself. And there are a lot of them that just run themselves. And first, I'm amazed at, you know, certainly in Santa Cruz they do that a lot, where, you know, there's nobody verifying if you have a helmet or pads, and somehow that manages itself. And other ones say you can't walk in without pads and helmets and things like that. So I think there's a balance of what works well, and I'm not sure exactly what's best, but it seems like involved parents probably encourage their kids to wear the safety gear. And I haven't seen a lot of injuries or anything like that. It's amazing how somehow they can have fun and not get real hurt doing the things that they do. So.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Any board discussion on this item? All right.
Well, my biggest concern would be liability. So I'm not sure. I have no idea how the other cities manage the liability on a skate park. I don't know what our liability would be. So for me, before I'd be able to even discuss whatever it is, I think we'd need to research the liability aspects of a skate park.
I think we're in a situation now where so many communities have put these things in, is we're not going to be breaking any new ground here. And as the gentleman said, you know, you've got skateboard parks that are geared to younger kids. You've got skateboard parks that are geared to very advanced skaters. And there are, like I say, there's communities throughout the Bay Area that put these things in, and they're very successful. I know in other places I've worked, we've done them, and it's all doable.
Yeah,
if there's the will and there's the money.
And Director Lee's correct. We've actually looked into that, and as long as you don't try to monitor or man or have full-time staff there, and you post what needs to be posted, municipalities have, at this up to date, have been exempt from liability issues with regard to skate parks.
Well, we'll note the interest in the skateboard park, but I don't think there's any action at this time.
I just ask if you're going to make the same offer, Rick. Can you go knock on doors if we need to get a parcel tax to get that put in so we can get the community behind it?
Sure, try.
See, if we can get enough of you guys knocking on doors, we'll get this thing done.
Skate door to door. All right. I appreciate the comments. We'll move on. So item C, any more discussion on the skate park, Karen?
No. Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to ask the resident who got up to leave his name and contact information. But Brian, I'm sorry. Yes. Could you leave your contact information or get that over to me before you go?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for being here. All right, we'll move on to item C, next steps. Where are we going? So what next steps do you guys want to take care of? Are you good?
The next steps will be a little further discussion on finances and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we've
got each item we have next
developed. I think our next step is really to look at what finance plans staff has and whether there's things we can do, because we can't continue to drain Zone 8 money. There's not enough. I mean, we're running low. So we want to we already have that program in place, as we all know. But we know in 4 or 5 years we're at, what is it, four years we're out of money. So we do need, that's the most important thing to discuss, is the finance, is how we're going to finance not only the current, but address future also. But I think that it's just important to address how we're going to continue this 4 years, even at the current facility.
Right. And how we're going to service the debt. I mean, it's one thing to build it, it's another thing to not be able to run it. And I think for me, because I started this years ago, long before I was ever on this board, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the top of conversation was the community center, and every discussion was the community center. And back in David Pifo's days, everybody tried to get the thing open, and no matter what they did, it came down to a ballot measure or an assessment, or parcel tax of some kind, because there's no way to service a large debt. We don't have the income. So I think it's great to want to be proactive, and it's great to want to move forward, and I certainly do, but we need to look at every end of this and how the heck we're going to pay for it, because we're spending money like we're crazy.
I think that would be that it, and it's not going to be something that's going to happen in 30 days.
No.
The staff needs to get any time to think it through, put together different options, and those options need to be all inclusive of everything from somebody winning the lotto and giving the town $5 million to do it to parcel tax and everything in between.
Yeah, I think we've gotten some great ideas. I think there's some fabulous community support for a lot of items out here. It now gets down to the allocation of our scarce resources. And that's going to be the discussion between the board and the community, is how we're going to allocate that.
So we all agree to keep working on that this year and moving forward. Okay. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, I just have one comment. It's actually a question. I was wondering if the board would be receptive or have a desire to put on an RFP for a recreation master plan, which would include identifying some of those financial options and site plans of how we'd like our recreation to go. I don't think that those full reports of the financials and overall are something that staff can handle on their own. Not saying that, you know, I don't have capabilities, I just wouldn't be confident that I would be giving you the correct information. I think that that's kind of something that we'd need to bring a consultant in, and there's so few things that we do that on our side. But
I think you brought that through the budget process.
It's going to take
consideration.
It's going to take some money in order to get through that process.
It's like the master plan for the community center. I think we've got, there's still some thinking that needs to happen before we get to the planning effort.
Let's include this for the next budget proposal. We just
that's a great idea, Farron. Appreciate it. All right. Well, if there's any further discussion on the community center at this time, I think we've made some great progress in the last few years. It's been a 20-plus year journey to get where we are, and I think we're heading in the right direction. So I'd like to call the meeting adjourned at 8:04.